Welcome to the all-access version of the ProWrestling.net podcast for Tuesday, January 5th. I'm Jason Powell here with an audio review of the WWE Raw show. Bret the Hitman Hart returned to WWE television for the first time in 12 years. Well, okay, technically he's been on television, but first time on Raw in 12 years. Well, he's been in a video on Raw. First time he's actually been live on Raw in 12 years. How's that? Very cool moment. I enjoyed seeing Bret Hart come out. I knew it was going to be cool. Just, you know, kind of picturing what it was going to be like seeing, hearing that music and watching Bret make his triumphant return to Raw. So I really enjoyed that. I must say that the big hug and the handshake and hug with Bret and Shawn Michaels did bring back some bad memories of Vince McMahon and Eric Bischoff hugging on the stage when WWE brought in Bischoff for the first time. It just kind of felt like they raced through that. Doesn't mean we can't go back to Bret and Shawn bickering, but if this was kind of let's just get through this and move on, put all the focus on Vince and Bret, I'm a little disappointed. We'll talk more about that as we get into the show. I do want to give you guys the heads up. This is an awesome time to sign up for ProWrestling.net membership. It's only $5 a month. And if you sign up today, you're going to get access to last night's TNA audio recap that I posted after the show, as well as Rich Quilling's recap of both WWE Raw and TNA Impact. He's already got his Raw audio up for the members, and he's probably recording the TNA recap about the same time that I'm recording this. So three member exclusive audio updates already over there, as well as some exclusive news coming out of the TNA Impact show from last night. And the great thing is this is going to keep you through the Royal Rumble. So great time to sign up. And if that's not enough, former WWE creative team member Court Bauer will be joining me tomorrow in a member exclusive audio interview. We're going to be talking about the head-to-head battle between WWE and TNA. Court was working for WWE when Bret Hart nearly returned in 2006, or at least that's the impression Vince McMahon gave the creative team, was that he thought he could get Bret to return for a street fight. So we'll talk about some of the ideas that were going around at the time and get all that story and a whole lot more from Court. So, again, awesome time to sign up. It'll take you all the way through the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. And, again, just $5 a month. So if you're wondering how you go about doing this, if you're listening on iTunes, head on over to ProWrestling.net. You'll find the sign-up area, and you can gain instant access to the ad-free version of the site, all .NET audio, the first look at .NET member-exclusive news, as well as the forums so you can correspond with other .NET members, and even the ability to write your own blogs. Having said all that, and it was a mouthful, let's get back into this show. It was live from Dayton, Ohio. We got a well-done video package that opened the show. By the way, I'm reading along from Rich Quilling's report, which you can read on the ad-free version of .NET too, and just because I didn't do an audio or a written recap of Raw, so I'll follow along with Rich's. And if you want to follow along with me, you can find that on .NET. We went to the arena where Justin Roberts said it was his honor to introduce Bret the Hitman Hart. Bret came out to We Want Bret Chance, and he stopped at the top of the stage. Rich noted that Bret looked aged. I would have to agree with that. He did. I don't think HD did him any favors, but, hell, I mean, the guy's in his 50s now, and we all age. I'm sure if I popped up on television tomorrow, I'd have some people in my high school class going, what the hell happened to that guy? And God, they'd be right. Anyway, Bret made his slow walk to the ring, did his signature pose, and acknowledged the fans. And the first thing he said was, well, I guess hell froze over. I like that line. He said he's back after 12 years, and it's a great feeling. He said he's tried to come back over the past couple of years, but Vince McMahon would not let him. And we got a welcome back chant from the crowd, and he said it was great to be there. And he thanked the audience for never letting him be forgotten. And he said he had a lot of great memories. He mentioned that he won King of the Ring in the arena that they were in Dayton, Ohio. And he recalled being attacked by Jerry Lawler afterwards, so he said hello to the king. Some things never change, Bret said. Bret then called out Shawn Michaels. So here was the big moment we'd all been waiting for, and they're giving it away like 5 minutes into Raw. And I kind of wondered, would this have happened had WWE not been going head-to-head with TNA Impact? Would WWE have taken their time with this? I mean, we don't even know if Bret Hart would have appeared on this show if it wasn't for that head-to-head battle. And I've said all along, I think if WWE officials are asked about this in mainstream interviews, they're just going to pass it off as, well, it's the first Raw of the year, so we wanted to get things off to a big start, and they won't even acknowledge that TNA had anything to do with it. But you really do have to wonder, and I guess before we get going, I should say, what a fun night. You know, I mean, 5 hours of wrestling, all sorts of surprises on the TNA show. We knew Bret Hart was coming back, but that didn't make it any less special. And it was just a really fun night to be a pro wrestling fan, and the most fun we've had probably since the Monday Night Wars ended, the real Monday Night Wars. I mean, don't get me wrong, we've had some fun moments along the way, but not, you know, not just a big head-to-head battle like this. What a blast. And I guess we've all kind of forgotten that, oh yeah, Ring of Honor was on last night too. Ouch. Funny how it was all about TNA and WWE and not much Ring of Honor. But getting back to Bret and Sean, Sean came out with a pretty serious look on his face, and they ended up standing eye to eye. Bret told Sean he wanted to bury the hatchet. Sean interrupted and said he was waiting 12 years to say something. He said he felt Bret deserved what happened in Montreal, and he admitted he had a hand in it. He said part of him doesn't regret what he did. Like he said, even a big part of him doesn't regret that. And the crowd started chanting, "You screwed Bret," at Sean. And Bret said, "I rest my case." Sean continued and said he's changed a lot over the past 12 years. He said he did not remember Bret from Montreal. He remembers Bret as the guy from Anaheim, California, in WrestleMania 12. He then said he remembered Bret for the Iron Match. I think he meant the Iron Man match, obviously. And he said nobody wanted to see it. He said he was carrying Montreal around for the past 12 years. And he said he, too, wanted to bury the hatchet. What he meant by nobody wanted to see it was that nobody thought they could pull it off and deliver a memorable Iron Man match, which, of course, they did. Bret was in agreement, told Sean that it would be nice if they could shake hands in front of the live crowd and in front of the world. He asked Sean if they could be friends and offered his hand. Sean shook it, and he started to walk away. And as Rich pointed out, they had an awkward hug. It was kind of painful. It reminded me of that scene in Step Brothers where Will Ferrell and his younger brother, who don't get along, had that awkward hug. It wasn't that awkward, but it didn't. That's what came to mind when I'm watching that. It just looked very forced, and like both guys were very tense as they were doing this. So Sean heads out, and then we get Bret calling out Vince McMahon. However, Vince never came out. And Bret, I think Bret at that point was mumbling something about, okay, if that's how he wants it to be or something like that. Now, Rich loved this. He said it was great seeing them in the ring together. And storyline-wise, Bret only has to bury the hatchet, only has tonight to bury the hatchet and let bygones be bygones. So he'll have to do something later to warrant his staying around. Well, I mean, I think the idea it is Bret is, and I'm guessing Rich gets to this, but it's, they're shifting the focus to Bret and Vince. And I kind of feel like they rushed through something that they could have really taken their time with and built up to. You know, I thought we might get some segments where they make it look like Bret and Sean are trying to avoid each other. Maybe they show them passing backstage and show the tension, and you really build up to that moment. So again, I really wonder if WWE would have raced through that. Now, maybe the idea was, hey, well, we are just going to get to Vince, and it had nothing to do with TNA running head-to-head. But either way, I think it was kind of a missed opportunity for WWE because, granted, it's been 12 years in the making, but there's a lot of younger fans who don't, weren't around for Montreal and the big screw job. And so I think even though a lot of us have been waiting for that moment, I think they could have built it up better or those fans who just weren't around for that era and made it really mean more to them. It was very encouraging, though. Last week, I thought that the live crowd was like, there were a lot of very passionate Bret Hart fans in attendance at the show when it was announced that he was going to be the guest host. And there was a lot of "We Want Bret" chants and things like that. But I also remember pointing out last week that there was also a lot, at least half the crowd. And I talked to some people who said, "No, you're being too kind." So I would say at least half the crowd was just kind of sitting on their hands. And I also noted last week that I thought the video that they did and all the build up for Bret on last week's show was going to be enough to make people who weren't, don't remember Bret Hart, didn't grow up watching Bret Hart, just are too young for it or weren't watching at the time. I think they made them care by making such a big deal out of it. And if the live crowd's reaction last night is any indication, that's exactly what happened, because he received a really good reaction from the live crowd, so that was good to see. Josh Matthews was waiting outside of Vince McMahon's door after commercial break, and Vince Josh was looking for a response to Brett calling him out. Vince claimed he was in a meeting and said that he'll call Brett out later. And then we got Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler explaining Melina's injury and the fact that there would be an 8-woman tournament to crown a new champion due to Melina being forced to relinquish the title. Legit injury, as I'm sure most of you know. She suffered a torn ACL during a house show match, and it sounds like she'll be out at least 6 months. So they really didn't have much of a choice here. I think they had to come up with a way to take the title off her, and you know, why not just acknowledge the truth? The first tournament match featured Maryse beating Brie Bella, who had Nikki Bella in her corner, to advance in the Divas Championship Tournament. We did not get brackets or anything like that, so I don't know who else is in this tournament. This would be, if they're going to move the Hart Dynasty to Raw while Brett is there, I think that, that'd be a nice spot for Natalya to step up and get something like that. She could really, the whole Hart Dynasty needs something at this point. I think Brett's going to give them a lot of rub if they do put them together, but, I think that would be, one way to really establish Natalya. Basically, the Bellas tried to do the old switcheroo bit, but Maryse just, she saw it coming and she made this mocking, like, facial gesture, like, I can't believe it. And then, kicked Nikki Bella right in the guts as she was lying on the ground, pretending to be in pain as she was, like, subbing for her sister. And then Maryse hit her finisher and got the clean pin, so Maryse basically beat both Bellas. Then after the match, The Miz came out. He's got new entrance music. Rich liked it. I was all right with it. He ended up approaching Maryse on the ramp, and was basically hitting on her and saying that if she won the tournament, he might even call her back. And he said 2010 would not be the year of Maryse. He said this year, this decade, and in every moment belonged to The Miz. And he said he was awesome, and he had to go scout for his next match, so he went to ringside. And then we got to the introductions, at least a couple of them, for the match that followed the commercial break. One thing I got to say, as much as I really am enjoying Miz, I think he could do, I think he's at that point now where he can start showing a little more ass. And what I mean by that is, Miz doesn't let the crowd get to him. And I think it's important to be like that early on when you're trying to establish your character. And, and that's not exactly the best definition for showing some ass. And he does it in the ring. But when the crowd starts mocking him and things like that, he always, he one-ups him with the comeback. And that'll work. But I think at some point the character has to evolve. And he needs to start letting them get to him a little bit. And, I've been a little bit critical of him pausing to let the crowd say, when he does the I'm the Miz and then he lets the crowd kind of fill in the rest, and then he fills in with the and I'm awesome. It almost seems babyface like, and I've had people tell me, well, no, there's a lot of people saying and I'm awful, but Miz isn't really acknowledging that. It's a little thing, I think Miz is doing great, don't get me wrong, but I think it's something little that he could do. Almost call them out and say, complain about the fact that he heard people saying that he's awful. Because I think all it would take is once of him throwing a fit about that for everybody to do it, that kind of become his thing. Almost like Angle Sucks back in the day when his entrance music would play. So then when he pauses, it doesn't seem so babyface. Like he's The Rock waiting for people to fill in the lines. Then it becomes he's a heel. He pauses, they say it, he gets pissed, but then he says he's awesome. Anyway, there's my 2 cents on that. Second match of the night was MVP defeating Jack Swagger, Mark Henry, and Carlito in a 4-way match to become the number one contender for the U.S. Championship in 335. Decent action here. Good to see MVP get a win and get a shot at Miz. I think anyone who's been listening to me for a while knows I think pretty highly of the MVP character. Not crazy about it when he plays the babyface version, but they need to do more with MVP. Granted, they also need to do more with Jack Swagger and Carlito, and I think they've done a decent job of getting what they can out of Mark Henry. They could probably do a little more there, too. But so I guess somebody had to win this thing, and a lot of guys in need of a push. And I didn't figure it was going to be Carlito, since he's a heel, and I didn't think they'd have him facing Miz, and same with Swagger. So I figured it'd be MVP or Henry, and sure enough, it was MVP. We got a little stare-down moment between the two afterward. And then backstage in the hallway, Chris Jericho and Big Show were talking. Jericho said he didn't want to leave Raw, and Show said he didn't want him to go. Jericho said he was going to pay Bret Hart a visit, and he said he had a deal with for Bret that he couldn't turn down. He walked away from Show and headed towards Bret's locker room. And then after the commercial break, Bret was talking to a kid when Jericho entered. And he said that he had a lot of history with Bret's family. He said he made Keith Hart tap of the walls in the walls of Jericho in the dungeon, and the cats went running everywhere. And he said he knew it was inside of Bret, and he had an idea. He said he wanted Bret to be the special guest referee for his match with the tag title match. And he said he wanted Bret to let Instinct take over and ring the bell when he had Shawn or Hunter locked in the walls of Jericho. Bret said no. He said he wanted to put Montreal to bed once and for all and did not want to relive it. He said he didn't want the WWE Universe to perceive him as anything like Jericho. And he said he didn't want to be like Jericho at all. He said Jericho wanted to stay on Raw. If he wanted to, he'd have to win the match by himself. He said, I'm not going to help you, and I don't know anyone else that will. And he finished by saying that Jericho was the one who actually screamed louder than anyone in the dungeon. Rich questioned whether, you know, a lot of people know what the dungeon is. I think they do. I think, granted, Bret didn't get the monster reaction last week that he did this time around. But, I mean, we've heard enough talk about the dungeon over the years. I really do think most fans, young and maybe not the real young fans, but I think the majority of fans do know, are familiar with the dungeon. I could be wrong, but that's my take on things. I was actually hoping that they would have Bret be the special referee. He didn't have to screw anybody, but I think it would have made that match a little more intriguing if Bret had been the referee and you kind of had some mystery, was he going to screw him over here? Instead of just definitively saying, no, I'm not going to, I won't do it, and that was the end of that. Backstage, we had Triple H playing with Hornswoggle. Sean even questioned why Hunter acts like Hornswoggle is a little boy. He has a beard, he said, and then Hunter pointed out that leprechauns are all born with beards. They talked about their title match and brought in Santino, who was dressed like Chris Jericho. The live crowd seemed to like this more than what we usually get from Santino, at least lately. I think I don't want to see him become Charlie Haas, where he's going to the ring and doing the impersonation gimmick. I really don't. But, once in a while he does something like this backstage where he's impersonating another wrestler, I think it could be fun. I'd rather not see any of it, but, I take that back. Sometimes Santino is actually pretty good, and I thought last night was, the hair looked more like Ric Flair's short haircut back in the day than it did Chris Jericho to me, but I guess that's neither here nor there. So, long story short, Hornswoggle ended up attacking Santino, and Sean got serious and headed out, and then Santino said, good luck with the suck it. And I didn't have a problem with this. I mean, Hunter talking to Hornswoggle like he's six is a little annoying, but oh well. Third match of the night, and I thought maybe the best match. I shouldn't say maybe the best match of the entire Monday night. I thought Angle and Styles was a lot of fun, too, and Kofi and Orton was very good. But this match was right up there. This was a very good match. DX, Shawn Michaels and Triple H with Hornswoggle in their corner, beating Chris Jericho and Big Show to retain the Unified Tag Championships in about 12 minutes. Just really good action down the stretch with some good near falls on both sides. Just a really entertaining match. And I thought this was probably the best match we've seen Hunter and Shawn in, non-pay-per-view-wise, in a long time. Both guys really were working hard, and I thought this was the best match we've seen DX have with Jericho and Big Show as well. So very good stuff here. After the match, we got Big Show entering the ring to approach his prone partner, Hunter grabbing the mic and instructing the crowd to sing the goodbye song. They didn't exactly pick up on that cue. They really wanted them to be singing the Sha Na Na goodbye, but I think the problem is don't think anyone in that building really thinks we've seen the last of Chris Jericho on Raw. I just don't. I mean, that's kind of the way it's, you know, they've teased it so many times that he's leaving and he can't come back. And it's like, well, you just told us he was gone for good the last time he lost a match like this. And so why would we believe it now? Plus, I don't know that the fans really want to see Chris Jericho go. Even if, you know, he's the guy they love to hate, I think they know how entertaining he is. Show gave Jericho a look and headed to the back. Jericho came into the ring. DX was still at ringside, and Rich said everyone finally started singing goodbye to him. I would say a quarter of the people maybe started singing goodbye to him. It just didn't get over that the way they wanted it to. But Rich liked the match just like I did, and then we went backstage, and Vince answered a knock at his door. It was Randy Orton. And he stared Vince in the face. Vince said everything Brett did was nothing compared to what Orton did to him and his family. Orton said he was there to do business with Vince, and Vince has done business with the people and has done business in the past with people he's despised. He offered to kick Bret Hart in the head and said that he is one legend he has yet to lay to rest. And he told Vince that Bret wanted to fight tonight. He offered his services and said he would kick him in the head if Vince gave Randy the number 30 spot in the Royal Rumble. And I thought that was intriguing. But Vince turned it down and told Randy never to confront him again. So, you know, I got to say, that's awkward. Just because it's like, okay, Vince, if you hate Randy Orton so much, why is he employed? There's never been a storyline explanation for why Vince McMahon, the guy who fires everybody, hasn't fired Randy Orton. So kind of clunky, just kind of a hole in the storyline there. But Orton walked away and was met by Cody and Ted. They said they kind of turned the tables on Randy. They said that they were going to be sitting ringside and would kick and would beat up Orton and kick him out of Legacy if he didn't beat Kofi Kingston. We're getting a full. I know there was like a leak on the WWE website noting that DiBiase is beginning his quest as a singles wrestler or something like that, but looking at this thing going, are they going to go with Cody and Ted as a babyface tag team? I don't know how much money there is in that. I'm all for them beefing up the tag team division, don't get me wrong, but I still think there's more money in Ted as a singles guy. I don't know where that leaves Kofi. I mean, I don't know if he's ready, but you could always call up Bret DiBiase to take Ted's spot in the tag team if he is. But I just think there's more money in Ted as a singles wrestler. Doesn't have to happen, you know, right away, I guess. So we'll see where they go with that. But I did like that, the way they turned the tables following up on last week. We got footage of the WWE Championship match from Sheamus and Cena. Sheamus came to the ring and said he would defend his title at the Royal Rumble, but not against John Cena. He said Bret Hart was the best there ever was, but he's wrong about the best there. Best there is, and the best there ever will be part of that. Evan Bourne's music played. He came to ringside and he said, Sheamus is a champion because someone gave him an opportunity. Evan said if he received the same opportunity, he knew he would beat Sheamus, and Sheamus said he would face Bourne tonight. And if little Evan Bourne could beat him, he would defend the title against Bourne at the Rumble. So I like this a lot. It was okay, you know, do you need to call him Little Evan Bourne? Whatever. But I like this just because it made their match seem significant. It wasn't just, okay, we know Sheamus is going to beat the hell out of Evan Bourne. He at least threw it out there that Evan's got something to fight for, and maybe they're going to throw, you know, I don't think most people bought in, but at least they tried a little something different. And the match was Sheamus beating Evan in a non-title match in 142. Bourne did get some good offense in the first 30 seconds, but including the airborne finishing spot. But Sheamus actually kicked out of that, which was a pretty cool moment, because at that point it was like, wow, you know, he's got a chance, and then Sheamus kicks out, and I don't know if anybody really kicks out of that move. So it was cool. I mean, it made it look like Evan had a chance, and it made Sheamus look pretty badass for actually kicking out of that. Sheamus then caught Bourne coming off the ropes with a dive. Bourne was diving at him, and that's when Sheamus turned that into the crucifix for the win. And then we got Michael Cole and the King talking at ringside about the passing of Steve Dr. Death Williams. I was uncomfortable watching this. I mean, I'm happy they acknowledged the death of Steve Williams. Don't get me wrong at all there. Okay, sorry about that. The phone ringing off the hook. That Brian Fritz from BetweenTheRopes.com has that supersonic sense. He knows every time I'm doing audio somehow, and he always manages to call in the middle of it. And so, hey, by the way, I will actually be on Fritz's radio show tonight. I just found that out, so good timing by Fritz. BetweenTheRopes.com at 5:30 Central. I think the show starts at 5 Central, and you can listen live online. Again, it's BetweenTheRopes.com. Let me jump back into the whole Steve Williams thing. You know, very happy they talked about it, but at the same time, it just made me kind of just, you know, it frustrated me because, okay, you'll talk about a guy who died from throat cancer, but you won't acknowledge the passing of Umaga because the circumstances were different and might make your company look bad. So that irked me. Again, you know, I'm happy they acknowledged it, but it still, you know, it just frustrates me now that they're going to pick and choose who, you know, which wrestler's death they actually acknowledge and which they don't. I don't know how well Michael Cole knew Steve Williams. It just, to me, didn't. Maybe he does, and maybe he was being very sincere. But there's just something in Cole's delivery that always seems so just disingenuous and forced. And even here, I hate to say that, not knowing. For all I know, he was very good friends with Doc. But I guess as much as I was happy about it, it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way, knowing that they failed, you know, just recently failed to acknowledge the passing of Umaga and, you know, previously Andrew Tess Martin and some of the others. And so just, you know, I don't like it when it becomes a corporate decision to which deaths they acknowledge and which they don't. Not a fan of that whatsoever. But having said that, they did go to a commercial break after that. When they came back, they showed the Bret Hart video again, and they talked about they actually introduced footage from the Montreal incident to the screw job, and Bret spitting in Vince's face and all that good stuff. And I finished with Vince saying he had no sympathy for Bret whatsoever. And then we got Kofi coming out, another commercial break, followed by the fifth match tonight, which was Randy Orton beating Kofi Kingston in 10:58. There was some fun early offense from Kofi. He did a really nice job early on. Kofi was he actually backdropped Orton to the floor, and that's when Orton made eye contact with Ted and Cody before they went to break. By the way, is there anything more predictable in WWE than when a wrestler gets thrown to the floor? It's like, okay, here comes commercial break. I mean, it's just, they need to shake that up a little bit. And most of their matches don't last long enough for it to happen, so maybe the masses, I don't know, maybe the masses don't pick up on it. But it just seems so obvious to me that, okay, guys on the floor, they're going to commercial. Convenient how that always happens. But anyway, after the commercial break, Orton was in control, but Kofi came back. A lot of good back-and-forth action here. Kofi ended up hitting the SOS for a two-count. Kofi attempted Trouble in Paradise, but Orton put up his fist and blocked it, and then immediately followed up with the RKO for the win. And then after the match, Orton eyeballed Cody and Ted and walked partially up the ramp, and Cody and Ted remained behind. Rich pointed out that he was a little surprised Kofi didn't get the win. I mean, I was too, I assumed going into the show Kofi was going to get a big win here. But when they announced the whole stipulation that Cody and Ted would leave, or, you know, would kick Randy's ass and leave Legacy, I was like, okay, then Randy's going over here. That's not going to happen. So that, I guess, once they said that part of it, it really didn't surprise me. But I still, you know, I thought it was a nice little hook to get people to stay tuned. How much damage has Kofi endured here over the last few weeks? You know, they gave him the big push and gave him that big Madison Square Garden moment, and then it's kind of all been him losing to Randy since then. I'm not too worried about it. At least he's beaten someone. And he just plowed through Miz recently. I don't think it helps him to continue to lose to Randy Orton, but it's not as bad as, say, Desmond Wolfe over in TNA, who had that red-hot debut, and then it's just been all downhill for the guy ever since then because they never have him beat anyone that matters. Kofi, granted, I don't think he's really beat too many people that matter, but I just think there's they haven't done, you know, irreversible damage to Kofi at this point. We got a shot of Vince McMahon walking through the backstage area. The King hyped it as 12 years in the making for the face-to-face meeting with Bret. They did announce that Mike Tyson would be next week's guest host, and Cole said it would be huge. King said what we were about to see was also huge. Now, I know Vince McMahon ended up acknowledging Mike Tyson in the ring, but I was kind of let down by the hype that they gave Mike Tyson last night. Some hosts, you just throw the graphic out there, like the two guys from Psych who are hosting the show, and then Don Johnson and Napoleon Dynamite. We got them coming up at the week after Tyson. The graphic is enough. What are you going to do to really excite people about that? But when it's Mike freaking Tyson, a guy who's got great history in WWE, that's why I really thought it was going to play out. Bret and Shawn would still have friction. Maybe they didn't get into it, but somehow, some way, Bret Hart announces he made the phone call to a guy who's also had issues with Shawn in the past, that being Mike Tyson, to host next week Raw, and as the guest host, he was exercising his power to make Mike Tyson the host. Just something more than just a couple graphics and Vince talking briefly about it. There's more you can do with Mike Tyson. There's some good history to play on, and he's still Mike Tyson, and I know the guy's had legal issues and had some very embarrassing moments in his life, but this guy was the king of pay-per-view for a long time. People purchased those pay-per-views long after he meant, really much of anything as far as being a legit contender win. So he means something. He's still got that train wreck whole vibe going where you kind of tune in to see what the hell's going to happen with the guy. And so I kind of felt like it was a missed opportunity that WWE could have really pimped this up in a big way. And as I said, Vince did come to the ring, and he said he had no reason to call out Bret because Bret and Shawn brought closure to the Montreal incident. Vince said they did it, and he felt the same. And he thanked Bret for being the guest host and then started plugging Mike Tyson almost to, he was laying it out, talking about Mike Tyson was once the baddest man on the planet and all this. It almost felt like an afterthought because you knew Bret was coming. And so, again, the Tyson hype was kind of suspect. Bret then came out with no music. He took his jacket off and looked Vince in the eye. Bret's put on a few pounds. I didn't think it was that bad, though. Wasn't like I was sitting there going, man, put that jacket back on. If anything, it was put the shades back on, man. He looks a little old around the eyes. But, I mean, the guy's in his, 52? I all things considered, given what he's battled, went through in his life with the stroke and everything, I think the guy looks pretty damn good. So, Vince said he will never forget Bret spitting in his face and sucker punching him and then disrespecting at the Hall of Fame ceremony. And Vince wanted Bret to say two words to him. Bret said he could think of two words, but they were much different than the ones Vince wanted to hear, which was great. Bret continued, and Vince said he wanted closure just as much as Bret does. Bret said he came the night to get closure, and he was halfway there. Vince said he honestly wanted to kick Bret in the guts. And then Vince said he knew that was stupid, and he didn't want the same thing, and he did want the same thing as Bret, meaning he wants closure. Vince said he remembered Bret's first WrestleMania, WrestleMania 2, and he said he remembered Bret being in the Battle Royal, and he knew that at that time, Andre's career, although he was the greatest attraction of all time, I think he called him, he said he knew Bret was the future, which is complete and utter bullshit. He said that Bret once said Vince was like a father to him, and then he said that he was nominating Bret's father, Stu Hart, for the WWE Hall of Fame class this year. And I know Rich put it on the site last night. I don't know. Maybe they announced it on the WWE website and I missed it. My guess is that they absolutely do. I don't know that it's official at this point, but Vince saying it, he said nominating, so I don't know if that means he's official or if it's just they're going to pull that as part of the storyline. But, while you've got Bret there cooperating, I'm sure that this will be the year Stu gets in. As far as Owen Hart goes, I really think, obviously, Bret has expressed in interviews his desire to see both Stu and Owen go in. And as much as I'd love to see Owen enter the WWE Hall of Fame, I think he deserves it. If I'm WWE, and I know I just bitched about, corporate decisions, but if the widow, Martha, is still very, very much against Owen being inducted, I won't blame WWE if they just decide it's not worth it. And, You know, I mean, it's kind of an uncomfortable situation, obviously, given the way Owen passed away in the WWE ring, and just awkward, I guess. But you know, maybe they've made some headway with Martha, and I hope they have, because I really would like to see Owen get that moment, and really Brett get that moment as well. Vince said that, or actually they. Vince thanked Brett for everything he's done for WWE and the fans. He thanked him for being the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. They ended up shaking hands, and Brett's music played, and both men raised their arms together. And that's when, suddenly Vince McMahon kicked Brett in the guts, just like he mentioned earlier. And so Brett was lying on the ground selling this, and Vince, from the stage, was staring at Brett to close the show. So there's your reason for Brett to come back. Rich thought that Brett played a very good baby face, and he said for those who said Brett did not play a good baby face, well, he's a very good one now. He said he was very likable all night long, and I already want to see him beat the shit out of Vince. I can't say I feel the same as Rich. I thought Brett did a good job. I agree with that point. I just don't know if he's got this in him long term. It depends how much they plan to use Brett. I really thought they did a bad job when it came to giving so much away so quickly. You know, and again, would they have done this if Impact wasn't running head-to-head? I think they could have scratched out the Shawn and Brett stuff for at least a couple weeks. I mean, keep in mind, Brett's going to be around through WrestleMania. That's a long time. There's no reason to rush into closure with Brett and Shawn. Not that you can't, kind of have Brett go back on that. I sat there last night wondering, are they really going to do it? Is Brett going to turn? You know, is he setting up Vince and Shawn only to screw over Shawn in the DX tag title match, or screw Brett Vince at the end of the show by attacking him or something like that? I was excited by that. And granted, the fans were cheering Brett. I get that, but I just think long term, Brett is a much better heel promo than he is a babyface promo. He was good last night, but I just don't know that this character has longevity. Again, it depends how much they intend to use him. If they only use him a handful of times between now and Mania, I think they're fine. But if he's going to be a weekly player, and I don't know if he is or isn't, but if he is going to be a weekly player, I just don't know how much he can get through. I enjoyed the Raw show. I enjoyed Brett's performance as the Raw guest host, but I can't sit here and say that I wasn't disappointed that we waited 12 years and, for this Brett's big return to Raw, and what's he going to say to Shawn? What's he going to say to Vince? And it was all, handshakes and hugs until the very end of the show. I was looking forward to Brett ripping into both men. And, obviously we're going to get Brett ripping into Vince now, now that Vince kicked him. But it was a fun show, but I, like I said, just a little bit disappointed that we didn't get that classic Bret Hart promo that we expected, where he really got to vent and let out a lot of frustrations. And instead, aside from the kick, it was all hugs and handshakes. And I thought Vince McMahon, it was a little too over the top with his performance, trying too hard to be the nice guy. And when he was putting over Brett, he came across very disingenuous. It was like, okay, Vince is going to do something here. I thought he could have played it a little more straight than he did. So wasn't very impressed with Vince's performance. I thought Brett, as Rich said, was very likable. I thought he came off well last night. I don't know why he opted to wear those hideous shorts, but whatever. Overall, it was a very good episode of Raw, certainly much better than what we saw from them leading up to the Christmas holiday with that, the Slammies and then that pre-Christmas show that was awful. As I've been telling you guys, I think the worst is behind us now. I think that WWE is kicking things into gear for the Royal Rumble. You're going to get some filler shows along the way here and there, but I think for the most part, it's a fun time to be a wrestling fan again. Not only did you have the big Monday night battle last night, and all eyes will be on the ratings this afternoon, assuming we get them. Could be delayed because of New Year's last week, but obviously as soon as we get anything on that, we'll get them in. We'll get them up right away. But it's a fun time not only because of the Monday night battle, but now that that's behind us, You know, how does TNA follow up? What do they have planned to follow up that show with all those surprises and everything? And as far as WWE is concerned, you know, now they're into that Royal Rumble mode. And so that's generally when they start to take themselves a little more seriously on that road to WrestleMania. And so I think a lot of the silliness is behind us. You're still going to get your comedy moments. It's WWE. It's sports entertainment. And I think there should be some comedy moments. Don't like bad comedy moments, but which is what we were getting way too many of. But you're going to get some of that. But I think, you know, by and large, you're going to see a better WWE product, the type that I think a lot of us enjoy, which is more sports-like, athletic-based, or at least plays on some hard-hitting themes rather than just over-the-top comedy and all the silly moments that are, you know, supposedly for the kids, but only Vince McMahon seems to enjoy, that kind of stuff. So overall, though, a really fun Monday night. I had a good time watching both shows. It was a late night. I should mention that this all-access audio update is brought to you by Red Bull unofficially, because I was up until about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, and was back up a little before 9 today. So I'm going on fumes, but it was a lot of fun, and it's going to be fun to see what the fallout is now over, in the weeks and months ahead. Don't forget that if you want to hear my thoughts on last night's TNA Impact show, they are available exclusive to .NET members, as well as Rich's audio comments on both shows. So that is available, again, exclusively to .NET members, along with tomorrow's Court Bauer interview, former WWE creative team member, where he and I kind of run through the Monday night battle. We'll get Court's thoughts on that, and he says he's not pulling any punches, so it should be a good time. Looking forward to hearing what Court has to say about that and providing some insight on, you know, what it's like working for Vince McMahon and what all the talk was about when they were serious about bringing in Bret Hart back in 2006. But it didn't work out, but we'll find out what some of the storyline buzz was and just what happened when we talk to Court tomorrow. And again, that's available exclusively to .NET members. And if you want to become a member, great time to do it. It'll cover you through the Rumble for just $5. All you have to do is hop on over to ProWrestling.net, check out that sign-up page, and then you can get access to all the audio, including past interviews with Brock Lesnar, former TNA creative team member Dutch Mantel, Dawn Marie, and Jim Mitchell, the Sinister Minister, and others. So, and there's also some other stuff in store that I'm not going to tell you about right now, but there's also some good stuff coming up too, I assure you. So thank you everybody for listening. It was a record-setting night as far as traffic went at ProWrestling.net last night, which makes me think that TNA and WWE might be getting some good news with the ratings. I know, you know, web traffic and TV ratings don't always correlate, but I really appreciate everybody who visited the site last night, because, again, it was a top even both WrestleManias that we've been around for. So pretty cool moment and always rewarding to see that that many people are checking out the site. So thank you very much for that. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you soon. Take care.